This episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by the TMOS Amazon Portal. Remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop. It's that easy. Thank you. Now on with the show.
Friday, three rival bosses plot to burn Boss Hogg, and the Dukes have to save his bacon. Woo! Next, JR plans a big surprise. Then, on Falcon Crest, a murderous trap tightens about Cole and Melissa. It all happens Friday.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Boy, oh boy, right before the show, I gotta tell you, I'm gonna keep it in my pants today because I don't want to talk about it until we're supposed to talk about it. But boy, oh boy, we got us a worker bee, Rob. We got somebody that actually counterbalanced you and was able to generate like an effort like I've never seen, even out of his depth, to work hard and produce something that we're going to be telling you about in the days to come. It is very, very exciting for people.
I'm proud to serve as the bar.
The counterbalance?
The one that must be, the one that must be exceeded.
Is
so
it the bar?
Thank you for mentioning
it. No, the bar would not be relevant to you. You are the counterweight. A bar would involve where you set the bar, and it's not relevant to this discussion.
Why, I have set the bar for years, and he has set it much higher. That's the thing.
Rob made a phone call yesterday as well. Rob did some stuff yesterday too.
Thank you, Josh.
Is that anything you can talk about or not? I don't know whether
absolutely.
You can.
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, what was the phone call about?
Regarding our Scooby-Doo escape room.
Okay. All right, see,
it's happening.
That's good.
Yes. It's absolutely happening. Yeah.
That's great. Did he do it on his own or did you tell him to do it?
Rob did it on his own.
That's awesome. Did I tell you to do it yesterday, or did we discuss doing it yesterday?
No, this was all Rob.
This was all him?
Yeah.
There you go. That bar just moved up a little bit. But, Rob, you will
agree. Why do I still feel like a kick to the nuts? I don't know. I just...
because I have to... What Josh brought to us, you and me and Carla
amazing.
And everybody associated with TMOS, is I'm super jacked. And as far as... my real knowledge of it just happened in the last few minutes, whereas I knew about it last night, the real meat of it. So I'm excited, and then we're going to have a very special way of discussing it when we open up the producer's room on Friday to everybody. And you come in and you join us for the producer's room, and you'll be able to find out what's going on there.
Noon on
special
Friday.
Start time, noon on Friday, noon Eastern time for the Producers Club. So we want everyone to join us free of charge this week.
Pardon me with the sweaty hat that I literally am steps off the ball yard as my son's team summarily getting their asses handed to them by these teams in the Caribbean. Not getting overwhelmed. Very close games, but... I have to be really careful.
All right.
My son's played on a lot of baseball teams. Some good, some not so good. And some, will say you are honored to be chosen. And I'm just saying, really? Based on my observations.
You think a lot of good players had other commitments?
I think a lot of good players were out of the country. Perhaps during this time. But the bottom line is you throw the ball, catch the ball, hit the ball. That three pretty basic things. It is what it is. So
what Caribbean
4-3
region beat
loss,
him today?
Walk-off loss today. 4-3 to the Cayman Islands. By the way, the stands with the Cayman Islands, I think... loaded with a lot of expats that have probably done something hinky, and that's why they live down there.
Don't make it political. It's just ball. It's just ball. It's kids and baseball.
I don't know. I mean, like they're coming from the Caribbean. What are they doing on an island, Rob? Huh? What are they doing on an island? Tell me.
Mike, I saw The Firm. I know what you're talking about.
You go. That's where it takes place.
I think
it's more of a blindside situation. They're going down there adopting a kid. With hopes of making it pro.
Sandra Bullock has made this team happen.
Oh, my God. It's tough. And I think one of the parents I was talking with said to me that the kids, even the kids from the Caribbean, are probably not used to this Florida heat that we have. Because, yes, it's
that,
a tropical.
That, to me, but, is scary. That's scary.
But they have that wind, and we don't have any sometimes down here, and we didn't have any today. And it is the surface of the sun and hydration and cooling headbands and ice and all, just getting us through it. And because of the weather we get in the afternoon, everything has been backed up, and so the games have all been delayed, and it's chugging along. But ultimately, it's kids, it's baseball. My competitive nature kind of wrecks it for me because I hate seeing mistakes. I hate seeing I hate being on the sidelines, and this tells me I should probably coach because I'd like to see more proactive stuff. But I'm not there, and I can't criticize what I'm not doing because I'm not involved.
Do you feel
in it.
That if you were coaching, you could bring all your negativity to the team?
I'm a
fair situation.
Yeah, exactly. A Walter Matthau type.
I am a football coach kind of person.
Okay,
that's the coaching I like, especially
more
with
Tom
this
Landry
age.
Or more Andy Reid.
Neither.
Okay. Which?
I would be more of a Vince Lombardi type. I believe you give it to him.
More high.
I would do a little, give it to him loud and hard and loud.
And then because home for meatloaf.
Especially at this level, at this age group.
Yes.
Yeah, scream at him.
Yes.
Or they're not going to get it because they move slowly, they react slowly, and they think slowly. And they need to be told where to go, what to do, and how to do it. And I think that's what
I would be
doing.
You've just written your first speech for opening day. You think slowly, you act slowly, and you must follow what I tell you to do.
I believe.
You got a little of that John Madden in you. Just draw some X's and O's.
Here's where you go. Go over here right now. Do this over here. I would tell you that when my son, who played Little League when he was a little bitty, and then flipped over to football, flag football, and then Pop Warner football, tackle football, and as soon as we went through our first tackle practice, I was just delighted. There wasn't a moaning parent in the crowd. There wasn't anything other than just, well, that's not true. Yeah, of course, there are always moaning parents in the crowd that do that. But I like the hard and loud, come on, hustle up. You don't get that in baseball. Not a lot.
I think that would be a good coaching name for you, Pop Warner. This is Pop Warner, our coach.
I just think that I'm loud. I'm usually supportive. My negativity consists of, got to make that play. Got to make that play.
Mike, I believe what the phrase you might be looking for is Coach Mike O'Mara supports excellence. That's what you need to convey. That if they're good, you can support them.
The problem with Coach Mike O'Mara.
You're mocking me.
I'm not. I'm not. No.
Your problem would be the margarita water bottle.
Yeah, that would almost certainly have to be stopped.
Great.
Yeah.
The last six.
What, you think if I was coaching, I'd be sipping on margaritas? Oh, by the way, we need a sponsor. I'm giving you a sponsor. I rarely do this. I'm giving you a sponsor that I want you to go after.
All right.
All right. I think it's called Cutthroat. And last night, the boys participated in a parade at the minor league ballpark here in Fort Myers with all the teams from Mexico and the Cayman Islands and Puerto Rico and the Bahamas. And it was really a nice ceremony. I got there and dropped Michael off where all the kids were. And then I went into the ballpark because I had a ticket. And when I got in there, I'm like, well, I got an hour or so that before I'm even going to see him.
Yeah,
and I'm staying, and I'd like to watch a little baseball. And of course, they had concessions.
Yes.
And there at the concession stand, I believe, was Cutthroat Lime Margarita. I think that's the name. Yeah, go ahead.
Cutwater?
Cutwater, not Cutthroat. Sorry, almost had it right. I almost had it. Sorry.
We support excellence.
Sorry, I found it.
Shut up, Rob. Cutwater.
Cutwater.
Oh,
is it like out of a tap? Is it in a bottle?
It's a can.
It's a can. Okay.
Now.
It's a 12.5 ALC.
Oh, it's like getting a can of wine.
It's spectacular.
Is it that good? Does it taste? A lot of times those prepackaged cocktails, and remember, I don't drink anymore, but I used to be quite good at it.
Yeah.
Those prepackaged cocktails, they have sort of a prepackaged taste. and a fine margarita has a freshness to it.
Yeah.
Does it anywhere approach the freshness?
No, it probably not. And probably would be, when it comes to those things, I don't like the idea that most of those seltzers, make you feel like bloated. And, you know, they've still got all the chemicals in them. This, what is it? Bleeds. James Malloy, I don't know what that means. It bleeds.
Well, if it bleeds, we can kill it. I know that
I
from
do
the movie.
Not know what that means. Sometimes it just, exactly. Charlie loves Cutwater. I
don't think he does.
What is that, Charlie Stuang Stabilak we're talking
usually,
about?
Usually, yeah, yeah, I would think so.
I love the lime margarita. Now, not all the Cutwater products have that ABV, the alcohol by volume. They don't.
Oh, okay.
But the lime margarita did, and I enjoyed my first one, and I even enjoyed my second one more.
Oh, look at you.
Well, the entire margarita variety pack has that.
It's fantastic.
And Mike, you will not have any sort of scurvy with the amount of vitamin C you got last night from Cutwater stuff.
Two things happened. I was not feeling particularly tipsy, but I was feeling like there was definitely something in there. And then this morning, my mouth had a taste to it I felt as though during my morning toothbrush that it was I had to linger a little extra to
kiss
get
me.
That it was but man anyway Cutwater that's the name.
Question you yes. brought up Mike that you were part of a parade last night at the ball game.
I was in the stands watching my son.
But you watched your son be a part of the parade is what I should have said. Mm-hmm. You said yesterday in the dwindling moments of this program you saw the worst 4th of July parade ever.
This was something that we were in town for. Originally, I was going to be up north this time of year, like I like to do up in Maine. But with this baseball tournament coming up, that changed our plans. And so for the 4th of July, we had as I mentioned yesterday, we had an invite to Millsy's house, who made his own hot dogs, which was fun. And then in the morning, we had a 9 o'clock parade over in Bonita Springs. And I love, Rob, I love a good parade. I really do. I'm a parade guy. I like going to parades.
I think it's one of the reasons why during your short run as a restaurateur in Manassas, you were so happy because you loved being a part of the Manassas parade.
It was great.
And throwing candy.
And we got a vintage fire truck that O'Mara's used to
have.
Exactly. Which was so much fun to throw candy off of that.
Josh, I don't know if you ever were able to make it out, but they rigged up the hose in the fire truck to squirt Cutwater margaritas.
It was delicious.
That was my serious question. Was
just going along the street, everybody going
people.
So we get to this parade, and the difference between Michael was a baby. An infant the last time we were there. So it was about 10 years ago that we had gone to this parade. And
so it's a storied parade. I mean, it's not like a fly-by-night. They're just doing it this year.
No, I think
they
do it every year. They do it every year. I remember it being not much 10 years ago, but very like folksy and kind of towny and small townish, which made it great.
Timey,
like the one in Bar Harbor is great because it's small towny and Timbertina and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I love those small town.
And segregated is one of the strongest parts about Bar Harbor.
Fuck up.
We went to the white parade.
Please. Please. It is something that I didn't know had evolved over the years. And we bring because we have our baseball chairs, we bring our chairs. We get a good spot with the sun at our back. Another day, surface of the sun, super hot.
Sure. Is it early-ish? So it's not
9 a.m.
Okay, so that's actually great parade time.
They start the parade, and we hear the sirens. They lead with the fire trucks and emergency vehicles. And the coolest thing in the parade was in the emergency vehicles, as it turned out the coolest thing in the parade. I didn't realize that was going to be the high point. It was a fire truck from the airport, like one of those big rectangular.
Yeah.
They're massive. Did you know they're huge?
I never really put it into perspective, but it makes sense.
Absolutely massive vehicle, and that was kind of cool. And then
at any time, did they have to stop and rescue old people in the audience from heat stroke?
No, because it was early enough that I didn't think they needed to do that.
Good, good, good.
I will tell you after that, nothing. We ended up leaving 30 to 35 minutes after that because it was trucks, pickup trucks, tractors. There was one horse.
Did they have any adornments on the trucks? Like
they were all businesses, and what they had were squirt guns. And the gist of the parade was some people in the know that were squirting the people in the floats on the parade. They weren't even floats. You know, there was like realty companies and roofing companies.
I love a roofing company truck.
Squirting water at people.
Oh, at least it was water.
I leaned over to Carl. I said, can this suck anymore? This sucks. This isn't a parade. Yeah. There's not a band in it. There's not a float in it. They're not clowns. They're not Shriners. They're nothing. I mean, this sucks. And you know what they did get? They got the crowd. They got the stacked up cars as far as the eye could see to go see this big ball of shit for a parade. And I was very disappointed. And I left after that.
Would you have liked it if they had delayed the fire trucks a little bit?
I would have liked it if they put Little Leaguers in. That would have been fun. Like, That's fun. When you see the kids or you see a group, a local theater company that might have kazoos playing. I don't know. Give me some sort of entertainment. Not just a bunch of people going, I got you, duh.
You know, I grew up in, and I hate the Virginia town of Vienna. But one of the things they do is every Halloween, they shut down the main street because that's smart, and they have a Halloween parade.
Right.
Was there any, like, handcrafted, made of chicken wire and napkin float? No. Nothing like that?
Nope.
Well, that sucks.
No Uncle Sam, no red, white. There may be some red, white, and blue. Might have been a flag or two, something like that. It was just bleh.
There was one Uncle Sam in the audience, and he just kept telling kids to get the candy out of his pocket. I don't think he was with the parade.
it was just kind of a big ball of nothing. Not like the young man's parade.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they spent all the money on the boat parade.
The boat parade that they do, that's at the beach, though. That's at Fort Myers Beach.
Yes.
That's a big deal. And I've never been to the boat parade. I've never had that. And then they had like a Trump boat thing that was pretty big, too, down here because it's a red state area. That was a big deal. But the Christmas boat parade is something very pretty, even though I haven't seen it. I've seen video of it. And speaking of video, I'm trying to see if I can.
Didn't you have, Ed, at one time when you had a boat up here at the marina where you kept it? Wasn't there a boat decorating contest at Christmas where they would go crazy with lights and everything? That was pretty cool. I liked that.
Yeah.
I remember the winner was a Grinch. They made an actual Grinch out of lights. Yeah. See, our that's fun and that. Not hot. Yeah.
Our neighborhood does that with golf carts. They'll have a golf
Josh,
cart decorating
contest. I texted you a picture of my son in his uniform for the United States team, the one of many United States teams. They were relying on our team.
Oh, I've got questions about God this picture forbid. Already.
Well, the dog is on the sofa.
The dog.
The dog is on the sofa. I don't know what the dog's doing.
Well, the dog is celebrating America, as we all do.
Let me see if I'll send this one to
you. Oh, I did not expect that.
There you go.
Yeah, the dog is up on the backside of the sofa.
Okay,
yeah,
first of all, your son,
of the sofa.
Your son appears to be about 10 feet tall now. I don't know if that's the angle of the camera, but that is definitely a tall kid. And what you have, Mike, what we call in the furniture industry, is a tuxedo-style sofa, where the armrests and the backrests are at the same level. And your dog is standing on the back of the tuxedo-style sofa in a way that means he not only has access to climb on the furniture, but really to make it his own.
Oh, like this is normal. I'm not doing anything special.
Right. Okay. Yeah, he looks at ease.
I sent a picture of the very empty minor league stadium. There he is, number 75, with his red shorts down behind home plate during the parade. Tall. Right in back of the USA, I think, 13 or 14U softball team, which was fun. And you can see those young ladies because there were softball teams participating in it as well. And then the last thing I sent you, Josh, I don't know if you got it, was the little parade. There's the parade.
Oh, wow.
And that's...
How were you able to get a seat?
See them all going up in the stands?
Yeah.
That's all the different Caribbean teams going up in the stands, and that was me taking a picture.
Are you sure that's not a line to get another margarita?
No, the concessions are scaled down for the minor league team, so there were lines everywhere.
ABV is not scaled down.
Let me just say this. If you want to know, because with all these islands, they're vacation destinations for a lot of Americans.
Sure.
I just want to say, based on waiting in line, the contingent from the island of Aruba.
Yeah.
You're party animals, people. You like to party. They were lined up everywhere.
That's why the Beach Boys sang about them, Mike.
Aruba, Bahama,
Jamaica, et cetera, et cetera. Mike Love is a dick.
Yeah. How were the national anthems?
They didn't do the national. They did one. They did one long national anthem of the United States, which was on and on.
Oh, they sang all the verses?
That's the way it went. All the verses. We mightn't remember the verses, but it was big fun. Now, on the show today, coming up in a few minutes here, we're going to talk to the commander of the president's own, Colonel Scott McKenzie, and talk music and the 4th of July and his career in music and whether he knows my buddy Colonel Colbert or not. I have lots of questions for him. So we'll
what if there's
that.
A lot of bad blood between them and he starts talking
trash? Would that be fantastic?
I'd love that.
I don't think it's going to happen, though. No, pretty dignified, rarified air for those people.
The problem
to do
with
that
Colonel Colbert is he's a classy guy. That's the problem.
He is. He is. Yeah. But getting back to the whole baseball thing, kids are kids, and I reiterate, this is the last hurrah for real Little League. He moves on to 13 and teenager stuff that's travel ball and that kind of thing. It's still kids, but and I'll be following him as long as he wants to play the game. But let's say going out with a whimper in this particular tournament, I think it's sad.
Maybe
it's
they're focused forward. Maybe that's the problem.
Hey, two runs yesterday. Was it 2 runs? One run yesterday, 3 runs today, right? They're moving in a forward direction. I'm happy for that.
How was the defense? I mean, were they on it? I mean, obviously they didn't score enough runs, but
no.
Okay, that was a simple answer.
No. Michael's a catcher. That's the hardest position with the Heat.
Yep.
How's he handle the Heat? You guys doing have a plan to and stuff?
We have the big jug of water. It's one game. If he was doing multiples, I think there are a few multiple games out there. That's a deal. That to be out in that stuff and catch for two whole games, but he hasn't done that. And the thing that we do is we have the, you know, those little headbands that the athletes wear, right? We soak those in water and ice, and he puts that around his head or his neck. And that's
throat.
I had a catcher.
You just can't get by it. I'm sorry you don't drink anymore, pal. I'm sorry.
Than me.
You can't get that margarita out of your head. You can't get it. You know what?
I had a catcher once overheat, and I was like, aren't you drinking water? And I've watched him the whole game drinking his water bottle in between. Found out there was Monster Energy drink in his water bottle.
Oh, no. So oh, my God.
He was cramping all up.
Yeah. Oh, that's like the worst.
Yeah,
you got to do agua. Gatorade, you know?
He was Mike, he was so dehydrated. He had to sit on a creeper when he was catching them.
It's fun. It's Americana. It's baseball. And it's the heat, the overwhelming heat that we have. Yeah. And, you know, we're making it work. And, you know, my kid's got a good attitude. He knows how to bounce back from this right now. He's frustrated with the team, and he's frustrated with his own performance. And they played a better game today than they played yesterday. They got a couple more. Maybe they can sneak one into the win column. That would be a lot of fun. But I think as far as any championships, Mr. Scholarship winner, I think that's probably not going to happen.
Has his quality of play been altered by his hair color? Has that changed anything?
No, he's about the same player he's been. But I will tell you, would you like to have a guessing game as to the powerhouse in this tournament, the team that is favored to win and so far is doing everything to legitimize that claim?
Yeah.
Any guesses?
I will guess Bahamas.
No.
The Bahamas.
Is the DR. There.
Dominican Republic, Dominican. I believe, is there. That I don't know. I think that is, I'm trying to think if I've seen a DR team. I don't think I've seen a DR team.
I know that it's geographically not exactly with them, but does the Bolivian team have the shiniest and newest equipment?
That's Rob. That's Rob, everybody. That's Rob saying
just
that.
Just curious.
The number one seed is Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is strong, great pitchers, great hitters, and looks really good. It's the Caribbean Invitational is what it is, and glad to be a part of it. And then afterwards, I think I'm just going to throw myself into an ice bath and sit. And now, sit and sit and sit.
When the Invitational is over, do they go home? Do they go via plane, or are they on rafts? How do they do it?
Jesus.
Yes, the same
that
way they
so
got here.
That is so racist.
That is. You know, that's
that
not okay.
That is so racist. What is wrong with you?
Josh, I'm really sorry you wrote that joke. I'm sorrier that I said it. Yeah, I think Josh. Josh loves that.
Hey, Rob, did you hear that Josh has been doing a lot of extra work for the show? Are you excited about that?
I love that. Uh-huh. I am very excited. I love to see him work. Makes me excited.
Why?
Because it makes all of us better. The evil and then is the best part.
So last night, one last thing before we go to break here, and then we're going to be joined by Colonel McKinsey. The idea of what we do as our little snack, and this is in the great tradition of myself. You know this when I used to come back from doing the show, the morning
the
show.
The great tradition of myself.
The great tradition of McDonald's ice cream cones.
Right.
Which I used to enjoy to wake up when I was sleepy, coming back from the morning show. When
and
I
also
was
a source of a source of great consternation when the machine would be down.
Mm.
You'd hate it.
I embarrassed myself one time with Jimmy.
Yeah.
When they ran out, I was not. Yep. I was not pleased with my. Here's what we do now. When the three of us are in the car together and we have a moment in the evening coming home, we usually stop at Mickey D's for our favorite treat, which is the relative to the treat factor, low calorie McDonald's ice cream cone. Yep. And the game we always play is. Who claims first, who claims second, and who claims third? And so,
in what capacity?
Is it based on seeing it? No,
it's based on who gets it first. So Carla will say first, Michael goes second. I said, well, I guess that makes me third. And then we'll be driving in and said, I've got first this time. And Carla says second.
Okay. Yeah.
We call who's going to get first, second,
like
and
yelling
third.
Shotgun or something like that.
And last night, I actually probably based on the fact that margaritas were happening. I hipped them to it in the drive-through window. I hipped them to it at the speaker.
I got one and two.
I said, listen, we're all getting ice cream cones, and we have a competition as to who's going to get the best one. So I'm going first, my son is going second, and my wife's going third. And she starts laughing on the other end, and so she's into it. And then I will tell you, at the window, we were presented with three of the most identical ice cream cones you will ever see in your life.
Did she also give you a pamphlet about substance abuse? Like when you go to the money machine at a casino and it says, if you have a problem.
I haven't tried. Have either one of you tried the hot apple pie? We probably talked about this
before. Yes, of course.
I did. Yes.
Yeah. And results, yes. Anything?
It's pretty good. Not as good as it was. I think it has to do with the fact they've changed their frying oil.
It is.
Because they used to use beef tallow, and it's just not the same.
It's good. Rob's trying to compare. Well, here's Rob's problem. He's trying to compare something to something he remembers having in the 80s.
Okay. Well, how about this, Josh? How about that very same week I went to Popeye's and bought a fried apple pie, and it was as good as it's always been.
Popeye's apple pies are good also.
Yeah.
But the McDonald's apple pie, a lot better than the one a month ago.
Well, sure. I mean, it's a step in the right direction, but I didn't have that nuclear hot filling either. I want that.
You want that dangerous filling?
That dangerous caution filling. It used to say it on the box, caution, filling is hot. Mm-hmm. That's what you want. You want the danger. Yeah.
I'm still not over my 7-Eleven apple fritter.
Mike,
Have not had a bad one yet.
Do you know how the hipster burned himself?
How?
He ate the McDonald's apple pie before it was cool.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and talk music right here.
We have about 10 minutes until he will be joining us.
Is he running late?
He's running a little late. He's stuck in some type of military meeting.
Oh, okay. Well, then we can continue then. Because, you know what we'll do? We'll take a break here. We'll do our news, and then we'll have him in the third break. How's that?
I love it.
Sound good?
Perfect. We'll be right back, everybody.
Here's a quick message from today's sponsor, the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. If you've ever owned a pet, you know they run on their own logic. Jump first, think later. Ask questions, never. I've got dogs, so I know this is true. It's part of what makes them so lovable, but it's also how you end up with those surprise vet visits you didn't see coming. ASPCA Pet Health Insurance helps cover eligible vet expenses. So when those moments happen, you can focus on getting them the care they need without overthinking the cost or second-guessing your decision. When you enroll in an ASPCA Pet Health Insurance plan, you could even get a $25 Amazon gift card. It's a little treat for you while you're doing something great for your pet. The program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier to get your pet the care they may need. Who's a good boy? You are. If you enroll in the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance plan, it's been around for almost 20 years and has covered nearly 1 million pets in that time. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/TMOS. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/TMOS. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit aspcapetinsurance.com/Amazon terms for more info. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Playing by the clock today. Gotta watch the clock today. Huh? Watch the clock.
Kind of like
today.
Being a DJ kid again, isn't it? Watching that clock.
Watching the clock. Ready for some good news?
I could use it.
President Trump says the situation in the Middle East remains extremely dangerous. I guess it's not. Tensions with Iran continue to escalate. New reports of attacks on commercial shipping in the Strait of Hormuz. They've raised fears of disrupted oil supplies, pushing energy prices higher. U.S. officials say they are monitoring the situation closely as international leaders urge both sides to avoid a wider conflict.
Isn't that great? Mike, this is going to ruin the Hormuz Invitational Little League game.
It's very frustrating. You know,
it really is.
We were all set to go out to the Strait. anyway. Hollywood is turning its attention to the Emmy Awards.
Eon.
Do you care?
Nope.
The 2026 nominations are being announced today with hits like The Bear. The Bear gets a lot of credit, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you know what? I don't know anyone who's watched The Bear in 2 years. I think The Bear is kind of yesterday's news.
But this is the last season, so that's why they're trying to praise them.
Hacks is getting a lot of attention. Only Murders in the Building, Rob's favorite. And
I like that.
Shrinking, another good show.
Shrinking is a good show.
They're expected to be among the big contenders. Industry watchers are also keeping an eye out for this year's big surprises and snubs as award season officially gets underway.
Hey,
I don't care.
Hey, Mike, what about that? What about The Pit? Everyone knows The Pit.
Yeah,
no mention for The Pit.
That's my show. That's my show. Yeah. How about Dutton Ranch? Huh?
Yes.
No, it's a spinoff. And
also, 60 Minutes.
We're going to talk. If we get a chance, we're going to talk about this a little more in detail. AI revolution that has reached Hollywood. A fully AI-generated actress, her name, Tilly Norwood, has been cast as the star of a new feature film called Misaligned. Now, supporters say it shows how AI can expand creativity, while critics argue it threatens the future of actors. We've heard about this. I think everybody's had a discussion about this at one time or another, that they're going to replace actors. But I don't know if that's true or not. But anyway, they're doing it now. They've got a fully AI-created person in the role of this movie, Misaligned, I should say. The project is already sparking major debate across the entertainment industry. We'll have to wait and see. I do not have a trailer for this. The one I'm excited about, and I know I'm digressing here a little bit, is The Odyssey. I think that looks like it will be a blockbuster, and I can't wait to see it. I'm excited about that.
As good as the book?
The poem, you mean?
The poem?
The poem? Probably not, but it looks exciting, and it's got an A-list cast. Zendaya's in it. Matt Damon is in it. Is it Tom Holland that's in it, too?
I think he's in that, too.
Mm-hmm. Looks like it's going to be a big deal.
Is Tilly Norwood in that?
I think it's going to flop.
You think so?
Yes.
Why?
because they just announced they kicked off out like all influencers from preview screenings,
and only, that's not good.
They're holding it back who can see the preview screenings and give reviews.
That hasn't been a good sign since 1930.
No, I know Casino Carla wanted to go.
Yeah.
But she was rebuffed. All right, let's turn our attention to sports, specifically tennis at Wimbledon. Novak Djokovic is moving one step closer to tennis history. I like the guy, if you watch any tennis. He's 39 sure. years old. He advanced to the semis after winning a marathon five-set match. I don't know what... hasn't it been hot over in England, too? It's been really hot there.
It's been hot everywhere. Yeah,
it has. It really has. It lasted more than 5 hours. A tennis match. That is a ton. God, I would have loved to see at least half of that. I really would.
In air conditioning, you would have.
In my air-conditioned living room. The victory also gave Djokovic his, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right, commenters, let me know if I screwed up the pronunciation. Mm-hmm. They gave him his 106th career win at Wimbledon. That broke Roger Federer's all-time record at the All England Club. So congratulations to Novak.
In London this week, they've had temps in the low 90s, but I think that's pretty extreme for England.
It is,
and especially in that kind of sports.
Yeah. Five-hour match. A hospital in Ohio is dealing with a very unusual baby boom. This is a cool story. Mm-hmm. 17, count them, 17 nurses are all expecting babies at about the same time. Hospital officials say they're already working on staffing plans to cover all the maternity leave, while the expectant moms have become something of a local celebrity group. Now, does it mention in this
story?
What
about the one doctor that needs time off?
I was going to say, yeah, that one doctor looks sort of flushed.
I'm going back down. No, it says a hospital. I didn't get the regular hospital, you know? My bad.
One
Sorry
dad.
About that. I said
one
my
dad.
Bad.
Amazing.
One dad, one doctor. It's Noah Wiley. It's Noah Wiley. He is the father for all those children. So,
and he can make you pregnant just by looking at you funny.
You bet he can.
Yeah.
He's super deluxe streaming.
Miami Valley Hospital.
Miami Valley in Ohio.
In Dayton, Ohio.
Dayton is the place. Wasn't that an Elvis song?
Yeah. It's from Paradise Hawaiian Style. In a silly way.
Finally, today, a senior dog has become an online sensation.
Dog!
Thanks to his daily visits to a neighborhood ice cream shop.
No.
Employees say the far-legged customer knows exactly where he's going, waits patiently for his treat, and has charmed everyone who stops by, proving once again you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Apparently, he goes by the ice cream parlor and hangs out and gets his treat. Here's the kicker, though. This is exciting. After he gets his little pup cup, he licks his own balls.
That's nice. There it is. No, you know, everyone loves him. His dog, his name is Diabetes.
Diabetes. Diabetes the Terrier. God bless them. God bless them. Enjoying him. Yes, sir.
Let's enjoy them.
Everybody, forget the resty. Try the pest. Hold on. Try it one more time.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. Forget the resty. Try the bestie. The bestie is pesty.
I got that from a pizza box. Isn't that great?
Very good. Here are the ABCs of me. If I hire a professional, I want them to be a professional. I don't want them to overcharge. I don't want to have to work on their schedule. I hate waiting between noon and six. And the worst part is when they finally get to work, you realize, I could probably do this better, faster, and cheaper. Well, guess what? You can, thanks to Pesty. You can control your own extermination situation. I'm glad I use Pesty. Pesty is DIY pest control, made ridiculously easy. Their custom kit takes just minutes to apply, and treatments start at only $35. That's it. You get a plan tailored to your location, your climate, and the creepy crawlers that are surrounding you. They're everywhere. You can't always see them. They're in your home. We're talking over 100 kinds of pests, ants, spiders, roaches, even scorpions. Oof. If you live where there are scorpions, look, I know Pesty's great. It can kill them, but just move. You don't want to be around those, right?
And check your luggage. You don't want to bring them with you.
That's right. Do you know any Scorpion songs, Rob, off the top of your head? Any Scorpion songs jump out? You're the musicologist putting you on the pressure right now. Scorpions.
I don't know a Scorpion song because, you know, I don't skew heavy metal. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Scorpions. Yay. Forget about it. The Pesti kit comes with everything. Reusable electronic sprayer, mixing bag, pesticide, gloves, instructions, all ready to go. You can treat your entire home in under 10 minutes. I've done it. Rob's done it. Love it. And here's the kicker. Pesti is kid and pet friendly. Their products have been used safely in hospitals and schools nationwide. Plus, they're back. They back it all, I should say, with a 100% bug-free guarantee or your money back. No hassle, no questions. I promise you, it works. And try their wonderful new line of makeup. I don't have time for that, all right?
Mike, it's a one-liner. Come on, I thought of it while I was falling asleep.
Pesti Lauder.
Peste Lauder.
Keep the bugs away with Pesti. Go to pesti.com/TMOS. The spot never ends. For an extra 10% off your order, that's P-E-S-T-E-I-E-T-I-E, JesusChrist.com/TMOS for an extra 10% off.
Rob was in the gummies last night.
God
I was
almighty.
Not. No. And I,
like
my thanks to the
copywriting there,
Mike. My thanks to the chat room, Winds of Change, and also Rock You Like a Hurricane. Should have had them both. My apologies.
Yes, you should have. Yes. Yeah, yeah, you lost already.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Josh would have had them.
Josh would not have had them if I asked him. He would have weighed in. He would have gotten that. You know.
No, he would have worked. Yeah, he would have worked.
Do we have our? Do we have
not
our guests to handy?
Oh.
Mike, you're dealing with the military.
Yes.
It's oftentimes the scheduling is it's a bugaboo, as they say.
Who knows? Maybe they're busy planning something or attacking someone. And he is just joining us now.
Oh, how nice.
Hey, isn't that fantastic? Rob, would you like to give him or Josh the proper introduction?
I'd be glad to do it, Mike.
Very good. Take it away.
If you watched the fireworks on television and thought, who in the world is conducting that incredible orchestra? Well, we've got your answer. Joining us is Colonel Scott McKenzie, the commander and leader of the United States Army band Pershing Zone. He's an award-winning composer with more than 80 original works. He's a lifelong musician and has spent decades serving our country both in uniform and on the podium. Please welcome Colonel Scott McKenzie.
Do we have the colonel standing by, Josh, or are we having a little problem with the connectivity that we have here?
I know we don't have his video up. And
can he hear us?
I assume we cannot hear him.
Okay, we'll wait. I have connectivity.
Is he on the same Wi-Fi that they used for the actual fireworks presentation on the mall?
I have connective tissue with this based on my friendship with the Colonel Michael Colburn, former retired of the Marine Band, which was called the President's Zone. This band is called Pershing Zone. Mm-hmm. And my limited knowledge of military history would tell me that Pershing, General Blackjack Pershing, I think Pershing was his name, was a military leader, not necessarily a musical person. So I'm kind of curious
about this. So in honor of
him,
yeah.
So you guys both watched the fireworks. Was the fireworks on the mall for the 4th, was that accompanied by this multi-service group that we had here?
Not only accompanied, but synced to. It's amazing what they did. And Josh and I were talking before the show. There were 850,000 mortars fired in 40 minutes. That's a lot of fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little too much to grab onto and understand and not be overwhelmed.
Do you find sometimes when you're talking about a fireworks display, and I watched the one in New York, that when you're trying to watch it on the boob tube, that you see the you see the smoke and the brightness, and it gets kind of crazy when you're trying to decipher because there's so many fireworks that are going on at the same time.
And also the changing of shots. You want to have some sort of perspective. And
Rob
crowd
Spielak!
Shots.
Colonel on the deck! Oh, no, I'm sorry. That seems sad. That's a Navy thing that they do. Colonel McKenzie.
Nice music. Thank you very much.
You can hear us, Scott. It is a colonel, I should say. It is a pleasure to have you on the show. First question, I have a dear buddy of mine who is a former head of the President's Own, the Marine Band, Colonel Michael Colburn. And since it has to be a relatively small gang, do you know of my friend Colonel Colburn?
That's a very astute observation. Yes, it is a very small community. I mean, certainly just the Army, but Yeah, military musicians, we know each other across the services. I'm not best friends with him, but we all know each other. Yeah,
that's
it
cool.
is a very small community. You are correct.
You came in just after I had asked the question that I think you'll be able to answer, because when I hear it's that the Army band is called Pershing Zone, from my limited knowledge of military history, I think of Pershing as a military leader and not necessarily a music person. Can you explain the origin of the Army band being referred to as Pershing Zone?
Absolutely. The band is a little over 100 years old. And the legend has it that Pershing, after World War I was victorious, that he saw the European military bands. And he came back and he put the finger in the chest in somebody back in the States and said, "You will organize and equip the Army band," quote
okay.
unquote.
Okay.
And we don't know if that's exactly true, but it sounds great. So we stick with it.
Colonel Scott McKinsey, let me ask you this question. How did you come to be the grand poobah of the Army band? Because I think watching the only thing I watched of yours was your commissioning ceremony, the ceremony where they named you head of Pershing Zone. You had a background in regular military service before you got involved with the band. Is that correct?
I did not. I've been in the Army for, it'll be 27 years in October, but I've always been a musician one way or another. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
No, before I joined the Army, I was a humble middle school music teacher.
And oh, okay. All right.
Enlisting all right. in the Army was a crazy leap of faith. Yeah, I enlisted as a saxophone player, and then I auditioned to be an officer / conductor. And so all my years in the Army have been either at an Army band or in a staff position supporting our Army music program. So sometimes I've been deployed where I was either making music in Iraq or I was advising general officers on what Army bands could and should be doing in support of outreach or diplomacy.
Okay.
Always a musician one way or another.
Okay, I thought I heard you say something about that, but I guess I was wrong. Go ahead, Rob. Sorry about that.
Quick question. I know that you started as a teacher in Virginia. Where did you teach?
So I was at Spotsylvania Middle School.
No kidding. Okay.
And I taught, just south of D.C., but my wife taught in Calvert County in Southern Maryland. And so we bought a house south of D.C. And so I commuted somewhere between an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and 30 minutes a day. And listening to Don and Mike in the afternoons.
There you go, yeah. baby. Yeah. There you go. There you go. I love that. That's awesome.
I thought you might enjoy that.
I do.
I did what I was talking about before you joined us. And also, it must be so cool to be the only... Well, other than the Rolling Stones, you're the only 110-year-old band that's still performing.
actually on the younger side. I think the West Point band up at the West Point
sure.
U.S. Military Academy, that band, to my knowledge, is the oldest continuously active military unit,
wow.
period. And when it comes to the age of the bands, I think the President's Own United States Marine Band has the title for the longest band in D.C.
I wanted to finish if it's okay, Mike. With the amount of fireworks that were staggering, and I said again, 850,000 mortars were fired, and it became overwhelming and almost just like a wash, because after that, you almost can't even do a finale because it's been a finale for the entire 40 minutes. The music that you guys performed, that ended up being what impressed me the most. I mean, I really have to applaud you guys, because to stand up to that kind of firework and explosion and sort of bombastic entertainment, when you look back on it, you've got to be very proud of yourself.
Now, thanks for noticing the music. We've been actually quite pleased with what we've seen. Thousands of social media comments saying, the show was cut from, a 4-hour made-for-TV thing with lots of A-list, B-list stars And we were always on tap to provide the music for the fireworks. But all these comments saying, we didn't miss the stars at all. Like, wow, those military musicians were amazing. I felt
always are.
They made us feel patriotic, and they rocked it. And so that it was incredibly gratifying to see all that, because this is stuff that we've known. We know this about ourselves.
Well, sure. It's a rigorous recruiting process that you guys have to get some of the finest musicians in the country. At least that's what Colonel Colburn told me about the President's Own. I would assume it's the same for the Army, right?
Yes, all the premier bands in D.C., there's little differences between them. But we're all the same in that winning a job at a premier military band in D.C. is comparable to winning a job at a National Symphony Orchestra. So it's very competitive. What we offer to entice them is an early promotion, and it's a permanent assignment. So the musicians are permanently assigned in D.C. Now, officers, I know the way that we do it in the Army is officers come and go. I'll sit in this seat for somewhere between 3 and 5 years, I guess, and then I'll be on to something else. But they are among the best musicians in the world, and it's a steady gig for a working musician. So this stuff sells itself. It's the medical and dental and all that stuff. It's great for a gigging musician that doesn't have to hustle just to live.
I want to ask you about your own situation, because I'm fascinated by how you go from being in the band and then you take that giant step up and what that entails, the responsibilities, the perks, and all that. One of the things that Colonel Colburn told me about, being the head of one of these military bands, one of the most difficult elements of it is now you are essentially, and I would assume this is all the people in the band as well, you are essentially on call at all times. Right, you are at the discretion of an officer, a general, a politician. You have to go where they tell you to go. Isn't that the toughest part of the gig?
Sure. I'm a bona fide colonel in the Army. It's not a costume. Right. I may be a musician, but it's very real. We take the same oath that we support and defend the Constitution. We just happen to have the best job in the Army, and that is to make music in service to it.
Right.
Whether it's a funeral or a concert or a diplomatic function or what have you, any style of music, any genre, any environment, I've got something. That'll get you there. But to answer your question, yes. We serve at the pleasure of the president. I don't mind saying President Trump is a huge fan of military music.
He likes it.
When we perform in the White House at state dinners, not every president is like this, but this president chooses the music. Like, we'll give him a menu of options. And he says, I like that and that, and sometimes throws us something that we weren't expecting. And we say, Roger that, Mr. President. And that's what we perform.
But I'd like you to play I Am Iron Man. Play I Am Iron Man by Ozzy Osbourne. I'd like you to do that for me right now.
Obviously, YMCA was part of the fireworks music, by design.
Well, and there was a huge, the orchestra was huge for the 4th of July. When you do a state dinner or something, how many pieces do you bring with you, just as Pershing's Own?
It depends. So, for example, like in recent months when King Charles visited and the UK delegation, it's a visit that lasts three or four days. Mm-hmm. So we'll have the Army Herald trumpets. We'll put them up on the portico of the White House, and they sound to the chief, and the Marine Band is there. It's between all the service bands in D.C. There's all kinds of occasions to have music somewhere. So our ceremonial band is at the Tomb of the Unknowns to do a reflame ceremony. But then for the dinner, we had the strings the U.S. Army strings and the U.S. Army chorus, and we performed some Beatles, you know, some Andrew Lloyd Webber, you know, something so for cool. the, you know, targeting yeah. the guests.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, some Phantom, some other stuff.
How many,
but then we were joined by other groups. So the Air Force Strolling Strings also joined us. The members of the Marine Chamber Orchestra, they joined us. So yeah, this, in recent years, even the simplest state dinner, has turned into a joint kind of operation. Wow. And that just really came to a head for the 4th of July.
How many musicians total are under your direction as head of the Pershing Zone?
I have about 270, but they are not all. Most are musicians. That mm-hmm. 270 includes some drivers. It includes my library. It includes arrangers, public affairs, resource management, and then the tech crew, which include like amazing tech crew that does video and audio recording and production, stage management, all kinds of stuff. So there were a lot of people. I mean, we had a nearly 100-piece orchestra for the fireworks music, but there was all kinds of people behind the scenes that made that's it so happen. Cool.
It's hard to understand how well your tech crew had you guys sounding on TV. With
like
all
a
those
studio
fireworks
recording.
Going off at the same yes. time. When we see TV broadcasts screw that up all the time.
So I found this out yesterday. I mean, it's unbelievable. So when I was on the stage, I had a click track in my ears so that we could get the music and the fireworks aligned. So I didn't really get to experience it the way I didn't see the fireworks because I had a giant screen in front of me and couldn't see any of it. But in my ears, all I got was the rumbling once the fireworks, once the first finale started in the first 30 right. seconds, the whole thing was shaking. And I was looked at members of the orchestra and they gave me a look like, well, I guess we're doing this. And, you know, the string players are going, can anyone actually hear what I'm doing? And like, I don't know. And so everyone just played and I watched like a YouTube video a few days ago and heard it like you heard it. And I went how in the world does it sound that incredible?
It was extraordinary.
I cannot imagine. And so that is a testament to our tech crew that was working with the production company that did the video and audio. But what I didn't find out until yesterday was it was one of my audio guys that actually did the live mix. And he wasn't planning on doing that. He was in the booth. And he was offering some advice because he'd heard our rehearsals and he knew how the music went. And the guy said, why don't you just do it? And he sat at the board and mixed our whole show.
Could send a message to your mixer, because the one thing I noticed, you had a couple songs in there. One was 25 or 6-4, I think was the first song you played.
Oh, yeah. Song. My favorite. I announced the birth of Michael.
Right there it is. For you.
All right.
And then you yep. later on you had September by Earth, Wind, and Fire, two hit yep. records that are based on horn sections. Now, when they were recorded, they didn't have 150 horns, but they did have some horns. The mix of the rock guitar and the lead drum and then the huge wash of music behind it, it did not sound forced. It didn't sound awkward. It sounded exactly the way you wanted it to sound. And I watched portions of it twice because it just sounded amazing. So I applaud you guys from the bottom of my heart. It was just so good.
That's really awesome. It's a team effort. It's a testament to how professional the military musicians are in the first place. But yes, it was well mixed, and it was an amazing experience.
Well, Scott, we appreciate you taking the time to join us today and talk about it. If somebody is out there with a son or a daughter or somebody themselves is thinking, how does one get involved and how? What would be
yeah, the... I want to be the, one of the singers, if that's,
you're too
okay,
old.
If that's open.
You're too old. Shut up. here's the thing. How would someone go about it? If somebody said, this is something I might be interested in doing. I'm a musician in high school. And I'm really thinking about this. What would be the process?
Well, yes, you are going to have to audition one way or another.
Right.
You know, as I mentioned, the premier bands, which is mostly the bands based in D.C., but some of the the academy bands are similar in that they're permanent assignments and they audition for a specific spot. So, you know, if you're a singer, I'm afraid you're going to have to wait for a singer opening before you can audition for a spot.
I'm nothing but patient.
Sorry, Rob.
Yes, but I mean,
the position is filled, Rob.
Don't call us. We'll call you.
We have army bands and other service bands worldwide, and they're always auditioning. And they're also top notch. So they're always taking auditions. So you
can just audition without any background at, say, a music school or anything. If you're a player and you think you can do this, and is there any age criteria that you guys use?
Certainly. Well, it would be the regular. You need to meet the age and height and weight standards to join our forces in the first place.
7'3" and 87 years old. Those are the that's the
110 pounds.
It's possible if you can pass a PT test. You know, there's all types that can get it done.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, but it's. You can audition, and you don't need a degree. You just need to pass the audition, and you got to be so legit. Cool. You got to be a legit excellent musician.
That's awesome. So cool. And you know what? Regardless of any political issue, the music of the United States military bands is just pure excellence. And anytime,
agreed.
Pay attention, folks, next time you see an event on TV or you're somewhere where maybe in the D.C. area you get a chance to hear one of these bands live, there's nothing quite like it. And it's an honor to have someone of your caliber on this show talking about what you do, because I think it's something that more people should be aware of. And congratulations on your commission as the leader of our Pershing Zone Army Band, and continued success to you, Scott. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, and enjoy your 750,000 miles of travel that I'm sure you will be doing in the future. But we appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, of course. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. This has been a blast.
Thank you,
our
man.
Pleasure.
Thank you. We appreciate that. That's
thank you, Colonel.
Colonel Scott McKenzie. He is the head of the Pershing's Own. Love those people, because the travel is another thing. They go a lot of places, those people.
You've got to watch it in its entirety. I started watching the YouTube tape in my living room, and then I moved down to my home theater.
Really?
Because the mix was so amazing.
I'll do it.
It reminded me of when Aerosmith brought in an orchestra on a much smaller scale to play their hit records, and they mixed it as part of the fabric.
You've been with me long enough. You know my background as far as my favorite music.
You will love it.
Yeah. My favorite music is big band music. I love it. I love the orchestration.
And you're going to love the singers, too. The singers were great. I mean, that whole presentation with honestly, and I'll say it again, it kind of outshone the fireworks. It really did.
Very cool. All right, we got more stuff coming up on the Mike O'Mara Show, but first I want to ask you a question. After a long work day, is your brain still working overtime, stressed out, keyed up, unable to shut it off? This summer, for crying out loud, shouldn't we be able to relax a little? Come on.
Yeah.
Well, we can. And that's why we love Soul Out of Office THC gummies and drinks. They're made to help you relax, unwind, and actually enjoy your evening, whether you want to kick back after work, sleep better, laugh a little harder with friends, or just quiet the real life adult nonsense in your head. Soul has you covered. The gummies taste great, the drinks are refreshing, and every product is made with high quality ingredients and clearly labeled doses, so you always know what you're getting. Best of all, no hangover, no mystery ride, just an easy, enjoyable way to put your mind out of office. This summer, give your brain a little freedom. Check out Soul Out of Office gummies and drinks today. Do it. Your mind has earned the mental vacation, and they're officially Spiwak and Soroka approved.
Me love that. Yes.
My favorite.
Give yourself the gift of a healthier unwind at the end of your day. Right now, Soul is offering our audience 30% off your entire order. Go to GetSoul.com and use the code TMOS. That's GetSoul.com, promo code TMOS for 30% off. Wanted to get to this today. Just a little poll. I know I spring this stuff on you guys all the time, but I have always felt that in the world of food, there are certain foods that get way too much PR, and they shouldn't. They don't deserve it. And avocados. What's that?
Avocados.
Did you just want to jump ahead? No. Is that on your list? Give me a chance to.
You set it up. That's the food. He's obviously
got an agenda, Mike.
You obviously don't like avocados.
No,
but I think the avocado is perhaps considered overexploited by you due to their massive spending, which I think they did on advertising. Right?
Yes, we all know they're from Mexico.
Avocados from Mexico. The one that I believe, and this is also a result, I think, of a PR campaign, a ridiculously sustained PR campaign. I don't believe that bacon makes everything better. I think that's bullshit.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think, it tastes especially great because it's made, and who doesn't like bacon?
Especially people that use shitty bacon.
Okay.
I mean, there is definitely good bacon out there. And if you get stuff that is real fatty or real salty, I pooped myself one time. Oh, Jelly.
I hit that.
Mike, this one goes way back into the fabric of me. It's not so much of an issue anymore, but when I was growing up and working on the vegetable stand and working in the garden, people would go apeshit for sweet corn. And the brand they loved was Silver Queen. And the thing about then is fresh corn was good for about 12 hours after it was pulled. After that, it all turned to starch. And now they've got new breeds that stay sweet for days and days and days. So it's not an issue anymore.
I've got the kind lately, and I can't believe it, that you go to the grocery store and it's wrapped up and you've got the trim.
It's amazing.
And it still tastes great, which is amazing to me.
It's great, but in the old days, it was technically not possible to do that. But people would just go so crazy at our stand for sweet corn, and I never thought it was worth all that. I thought that, you know, if you go crazy for tomatoes or something like that, a tomato is something. But corn is just going to, you know, wreak havoc with your colon. I don't know. I think people in the old days, I think corn was way, way overrated as far as a side dish in the summer.
And do you think it has anything to do with the fact that you were involved with it so much that you sold?
I dealt with a lot of people. Yeah, when was this? Is this fresh? Is this fresh?
People that would arrive when you harvested the corn and were going batshit over it and all that.
Oh,
right?
The people that would like show up at like 7:30 in the morning and you hadn't even taken off your rain gear yet. Yeah, it's like, babe, we're not open yet. Relax.
Were you also overserved corn? Like, was it every meal?
Good question.
No, because every time we pulled an ear of corn from as long as I can remember, it was like picking a quarter from the ground. So we sold
Sharon,
every ear we
could. Sharon, he's testy again. Oh, give him an ear of corn to chew on.
To gnaw on.
Do that, do they?
No, I'm very persnickety about fresh vegetables, but corn is, I can take it or leave it.
What about the food? Are there any trends that you think are overrated as far as food is concerned? You know,
there's a current push for mangoes, which is overrated.
I hate mangoes.
You don't like mangoes either?
I hate that push.
Are the three of us aligned on the mango factor here? There are a lot of people that love them, you know?
They're overrated. I think I might have been, I think I saw this coming. I would like to take a captain of the ship of the mango, the anti-mango, because they've gotten too much attention. I also think ranch dressing is not only overrated, but if you want to use a little ranch on a salad, good for you. It can be delicious.
It's all right.
But don't dip your pizza crust in it. Don't put it on bread. This is the mark of an idiot.
I like it on chicken.
Of course.
I don't like it on salad, though.
Somebody said we found Josh's wheelhouse, right?
Food. I can talk about food.
That's what we're in. We all like talking about food. Sure. Yeah. I think ranch is a little like overrated, and that's once again, Magic Box does that. The TV moves everybody in that direction.
The old days of like buying a seasoning packet and using fresh milk or whatever to make it a real refrigerator.
Right.
I'm not going to take shelf-stable ranch and pour it over a turkey, and yet that's probably the next thing that's going to happen.
Every dressing, and by the way, if you have it, and we're foodies, so we get into this stuff, but really, if you want a great salad dressing of any kind, it will be spectacular if you make it fresh.
Of course.
Whether it's Caesar, whether it's blue cheese, whether it's anything. And you can even make
a simple vinaigrette. Yeah.
A vinaigrette. You make it fresh, it tastes 1,000% better. You know, another thing as far as the trends that are overrated, this is not overrated, but it's certainly overpriced. Okay. I was, and I mentioned this on the show before. I'm at a spring training baseball game, and they got one of those lobster food trucks where they sell the lobster rolls, and they're selling a lobster roll for $31. I say, S-A-D, see, Mike, what the fuck? Come
that's the
on,
corn,
please.
That's the corn of your upbringing, because you ate great lobster
for cheap,
for rock-bottom prices your whole life. And then when they rape you with a $30 sandwich.
What's that, Josh?
The food truck's the problem. If you were sitting down at a nice restaurant and it was $31, you'd be okay.
I think food trucks are overrated.
It's the food truck.
I think food trucks in general are overrated. Agreed. That you've got these food trucks that, you know, what are they? Essentially, you didn't take the, you didn't have the juice to go out and get a real restaurant. You
know? Do you know where food trucks excel is at closing time of a nightclub when drunk people stumble out.
Sure.
And this is the best goddamn burrito I've ever had.
But they also got the PR campaign, right? Where, you know, remember when they were, a food truck would be a matter of convenience and maybe you get a good hot dog out of a food truck. And then it became this thing and they had TV shows all around, you know, Guy Fieri type shows that would say, oh my God, they served the red tacos.
When I think of a food truck, I still think of like a almost decrepit white van outside of the Air and Space Museum on Pennsylvania Avenue with a big styrofoam pretzel hanging from it. And that's what it was. It was horrible.
Those are the ones that hurry up and pack when the police show up.
Yeah,
they're blocking the road.
You know, grab one of their dogs, and you're about 50-50 salmonella chance in that.
You know what's really good on those, though, if you can get ranch dressing on their hot dogs and a Mountain Dew.
Yeah, but coming from that area and seeing what they charge now, and granted, for Maine lobster rolls, they got to ship the lobsters. That's the bottom line. They got to get them down here. They're usually, but a lot of those are made with either canned or frozen lobster meat, and then it's gone. It's
in
done.
Downtown,
forget
in
it.
In downtown D.C., they do have Potomac lobsters, which are quite good.
Yeah, those are, it's when you're just sitting there and go, does yours taste like shit, too?
why is my foot burning?
I got another toenail.
Lobster.
I got another toenail in my lobster roll. Help me, Rhonda, with that.
One last one, I think. Beef. Sure. I love beef. A lot of people love beef. But beef, baby, I mean, come on. Why? What is happening out there? Is it because of the cost of raising the cattle? Is it what? Why?
Okay, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you exactly why.
Why are pigs so much cheaper than cattle?
First of all, the reason that they're getting that money for beef is that people are spending it.
Yes,
people
are
accepting it.
Yep.
And you can't. I went to the big box store the other day, and I looked at the cheapest option for a steak for the grill, and it priced me out. And then I looked, 12 pork chops, huge honking pork chops, $14.
There you
and
go.
I said, I'm in.
Right.
This is four meals right here.
Just have to do a little more with it to get it just right. There's a process. Yeah. And by the way, we can do a whole show on it, but there's a process to make pork good as far as pork chops are concerned. And that involves a marinade. Okay.
Yeah.
Just remember.
Made of that's mangoes important. And ranch dressing and bacon.
Yes. And bacon. And you got it. And that Anacostia River water, which really is always yummy. Do you have a beautiful video standing by, sir?
All of it pulled right out of the Anacostia River.
Right out of the Anacostia. I can't feel my lips. I don't know what's going on, but I can't feel my lips.
I've never seen a lobster cry before.
Oh, here. All right, I've lost my place. I am looking right now. Hold on just a second. No, we got it.
Amazon, Mike, is what it is.
Did I miss my
it's
Amazon?
Very important.
All right.
It's extraordinarily important. Yeah.
Amazon, isn't this great? Did I miss the Amazon spot that I had? I did.
The Amazon should be the third spot.
All right, hold on. I'm looking. Today. Just a second.
But Josh, is it not true that you can go to tmospodcast.com and click that Amazon link and then you're good to go and you support the show?
If you love the show, if you love it, you got to go to Amazon and you got to do it through our website, which is tmospodcast.com. Support us without spending the extra dime. You don't have to. It's just helping the show the best way you can. We got you covered. Before you do your Amazon shopping, and let's be honest, who isn't buying something off of Amazon? All right. I got my belt rack. That came in last night.
Did you get a heavy duty one or how'd that work?
No, I got a cheap one. Start through our Amazon link. That's it. Same prices, same Prime, same late night impulse purchases. The only difference is Amazon kicks a little something back to us to help support the podcast. Need dog food gadgets? It's funny when we suggest they need anything. Yeah. We don't have to mention it. I mean, everything. Paper towels, hemorrhoids. You got hemorrhoids?
No. Don't buy hemorrhoids. Buy hemorrhoid cream.
Cream, yes.
If you buy hemorrhoids on Amazon, the shipping will get you.
Little something to spice up the bedroom.
Anacostia for that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, tell you what it is. We're not judging you. You'll find the link right on our website. If somebody goes to tmospodcast.com, where do they click?
Where to find the Amazon.
It says...
Right there on the front page, it says Amazon.
It takes 2 seconds.
And now, is that a left click or a right click?
Shut up. It costs you absolutely nothing extra and genuinely helps us keep rolling. So before you Amazon, think of us. Shop, support, repeat, tmospodcast.com, and then thank you, Amazon. We appreciate that. Play your thing.
Please. Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Todd.
WGN, serving the Chicagoland television and radio market for years. And they also have a good morning show because it's local. You don't have to subscribe to the Today Show or Good Morning America. If you turn on WGN, they've got a local morning show. This tape is not brand new, but we have never played it. And I think it's great. It's sort of like a wildlife update. And if you're in Chicago, this might mean something to you.
All right, we got a nature story, Paul, at number two. You're a big nature guy. Let's talk about the elusive titty monkeys.
Oh, all right.
You won't find titties here in the States unless you're at the zoo.
Huh.
In fact, you can find Bolivian gray titties right here at Lincoln Park Zoo.
Really, Lincoln Park? They've got the gray titties there.
Is that how it's pronounced?
Well, in a lot of places, it's TT, but here in the greatest country on earth, we're going to call them titties. If you want to see the titties in the wild, you'll have to travel to a tropical...
Only get that in a major market, baby.
No.
Where do I have to go to see these?
I love it.
but we want to see the actors, though.
Yeah, you got to see the actors.
It's these nudniks on the floor that are laughing like a bunch of 14-year-old boys. They have no appreciation for nature.
Science
tropical rainforest.
I love major market TV. I know it.
Robin in Bolivia or Brazil. If you run into a titty in the wild,
what should I do?
Guys, this is zoology, okay?
I mean, thank you, Larry.
It's not funny. You know what? There's
I love everything about it.
There's a reason they make it to the major market station. Yeah. Sorry. That's it. Yeah. They all have it. Yeah. They all get the joke and they know how to run with it. And I feel joy when I see that.
Don't you think that there still might have been a meeting after that broadcast, though?
Oh,
like, come on, guys.
I'm in no way. I am in no way including management in that group on the stage, on that sound stage. No way. Management, of course, there's some dope, I'm sure, at some level of their corporate enterprise. I really don't think they'll do.
Yeah, meanwhile, they're saying they got great titties, big titties out of Lincoln Park Zoo. This is exciting. When I go through my historic files, sometimes I run into something I forget I have. And this is the first film footage of Josh and I together. It goes back many years. And also what's exciting is that, Mike, you're the announcer on this piece.
Oh, God.
So let us celebrate. Did you know July is National Hot Dog Month?
Had no idea.
Let's celebrate National Hot Dog Month with Josh and Rob and announcer Mike O'Mara.
Hey, fellas, don't fight over that hot dog. There's plenty for everyone. Big, plump, and juicy, wrapped in an oven-fresh bun. Add mustard, relish, ketchup, and go to work. Yes, the hot dogs at our refreshment center are the best you'll find anywhere. Everybody agrees on that.
What refreshment center? Where the fuck is the refreshment center?
That was for that? Back when we were broadcasting out of your house. It was different then.
Stop by our refreshment center. There it is. Go to work.
Josh, go to work on that big.
Go to work, little. Go to work, little Johnny.
Look at Josh before his hair had been
put up. Hey, fellas, don't fight over that.
Was that close face to face?
What happened is Josh
was the one on the right. He's taller.
Yeah, Josh punched me in the eye because I took his hot dog.
Rob hadn't hit his growth spurt yet.
Mike.
Jesus.
I bring this up because I know, like you hated the cassette tape as a format.
Didn't care for anything about it. Didn't like to listen to it. Didn't like to work with it. And I worked with him when I was a club DJ. I'm not proud to say that.
I also feel that the industry liked cassette tapes. I think they pushed them really hard and there was some home units. I have never seen this before. This is from a company. I think it might be an American company. It's called Nakamichi.
Nakamichi. Yes.
Yeah, I think they're based in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. This. Check out this for a cassette deck. This is pretty cool. It actually flips itself. The drawer comes out and play it again. The drawer comes out and the cassette flips itself.
Very exciting.
Now, if they put that kind of effort into something
very
about
exciting
fidelity,
35 years ago, what do you do? Is that, how does that, nobody's going to do that today.
No, that video is 30 years old.
Yeah. It's 30 years old.
That's when that
product
first came out.
Do you somehow think it's new or something?
Don't fight over that hot dog.
Don't fight over that video.
You got one more for us, Mr.
I do,
Speedway?
Mike. This is, you know, The Onion continues to entertain, sometimes not at the same rate that they used to. Mm-hmm. But this came out this morning, and I think this captured the thought of much of America. Ladies and gentlemen, The Onion.
This is the first tour, you're in luck. Taylor Swift announced on Instagram this morning that additional dates for her wedding were coming to Los Angeles, Miami, and Boston. The Life of a Showgirl singer will be bringing her caterers, string quartet, and bridesmaids along on the road as she works, quote, to bring this special night to as many people as possible. She stated, Travis and I have been working so hard on our vows, and I'm really proud of what this team has created. Swift's post went on to confirm that singer-songwriter Phoebe Bridgers would warm up the crowd each night by getting married right before her.
Mike, you can get your ticket now.
I get it. I get jokes. We got to get out of here. Our thanks to Colonel Scott McKenzie of
Good
Pershing
guy,
Zone,
man.
The Army band. Fascinating chatting with him. We appreciate that. Thank you to all the comments. We appreciate you going to YouTube and hopping on our channel and liking it and also subscribing. We love you guys in the chat room each and every day. We'll see you tomorrow with a brand new episode. For Rob Spiewak and Josh Soroka, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Thank you, folks, and I love you, Pop.
Please remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop online. It means a lot and makes the world a better place.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
We think of Rob as good Rob and bad Rob.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Back in a moment, my dear. We have to expel some urine.